If you have a Bible this morning, turn with us over into Acts chapter number 11. I'd like to reiterate on a few things and then bring some things to light that we've not covered over the book of Acts chapter number 11, verse number 19. Acts 11, verse number 19. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that rose about Stephen. Well, what happened to Stephen? They stoned him for telling the truth. They traveled as far as Phoenix and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. I sure am glad that God redirected their route. Glad He turned the Gentile people. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, they spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them. And a great number of the multitude believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came to the ears of the church that was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. They sent him out of the home church to hear what was going on. Who, when he came, he seen the grace of God. Boy, I'd hope that when somebody would come in our church, they'd see the grace of God. Not only the people of God, but we need to live in the hour. Remember, it is about the grace of God. He said they was glad and exhorted them all, that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For He was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost. And of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus to seek Saul. When he found him, he brought him unto Antioch. It came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church, and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. You may be seated this morning. Our Father, we love You. Thank You for this time together. Thank You, Lord, for Your presence here today. Thank You, Lord, how our hearts have already been touched. Thank You, Lord, You are God that we can pray to today. Thank You for these families, Lord. Many have traveled a long way. I pray now You'd give them a blessing. Touch us in Thy Word this morning. Help us to be a blessing to Your people. I'm a needy preacher, and I sure do need You to help me. Now, I'll be careful and honor You, and thank You for everything in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We've been talking the last few times about here the Christians first in Antioch. I think the world is very confused about the Christian life. I want to say that the Christian life is not so much doing, but it's being. It is being. Now, we've seen in our Bible some activities in the Christian life. First of all, Paul writes, and he says, we ought to find ourselves shining in Ephesians 5 and verse number 8. I'd like to ask you today, have you got the light on to anybody? Ephesians 5 and verse number 8, he says, you were sometimes darkness, but now it ought to be a difference. But now ye are light in the Lord, walk as children of light. Did you know that if you are a child of the light and you get around dark things, it ought to bring some lightness about what people are doing? It may be that they're not mad at you. Maybe they're upset at what you stand for. This morning you're not going to make everybody happy, so just let your light shine. Live for Jesus. Keep your globes cleaned up so your light can shine. Stay in the power source so you're hooked into the power to shine. You know, lights go out when the battery goes low. Keep your battery charged. And the only way you're going to do that, stay in the Word of God. Stay in the prayer of God. Stay around the people of God in the place of God. Boy, how we need our batteries charged. And then here the activities of the Christian, not only to be shining, but we find many times in the Bible we need to be running. In the book of Hebrews, chapter number 12, one of the greatest passages that's ever been written, said, "Seeing we also were compassed with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." And watch this, church. Looking unto Jesus. Would everybody just raise your hand and point that direction this morning? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Thank God He's somebody we can look up to. Thank God He's somebody we can look to. And if we can look up to Him, that means He can look down on all of us. And I thank Him that we can be running. I want to run the right kind of race, looking unto Jesus. You'll notice the Bible simply says this, "Let us, the church, run with patience the race that is set before us." All of us have a different track in front of us, but we all have a goal in common, and that's getting to the finish line and finish right. Does anybody want to finish right this morning? Oh, it's not so much how you start, it's how you finish. Church, we need to finish right. This is a race, and we're running for a prize, the prize that's yonder in heavenly land. We're headed for a place, and I thank God that we're in a race, and we're running, and we're to look unto Jesus while we're running. And then we not only need to find ourselves shining and running, we need to find ourselves helping. In Philippians chapter number 4, in Philippians 4, I think a lot of times that we need to go back and look at really what the Bible says. He says this, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and long for my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved." He says, "I beseech Eutychus and Tyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, Troop Yoke fella, help those women which labored with me in the gospel with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Oh, we need to be helping. We see yoke fellas. Then we see fellow laborers. Boy, how we need to labor together. You know, if we do things together, it's not as hard if people are helping you as it would be by yourself. We need to be reminded one of the great activities of the Christian is helping. In church, could we always at Liberty Baptist Church live by this verse? May this be one of our great verses of motto in this ministry. In Galatians 6 and verse number 10, "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, but especially unto them who are the household of faith." I think we ought to be good to everybody. I think we ought to preach against sin. I think we ought to make heaven sweet and hell hot in our preaching. But I'm going to tell you, friend, it's come a day and an hour, if it's ever been in my life, where I realize I need help from God. I need help from the people of God. And people in this day and hour, we need to find ourselves helping each other. It's easy to knock each other down. We're to help each other and pick each other up. When our families fall, we better remember it's the grace of God that any of us are in this race this morning. we better realize we're not living by the law. We're not living under the Old Testament. But I sure am glad the Bible said that grace and truth came by the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm glad we can have grace in our lives, and I'm glad we can show grace to each other. My, how we need to find ourselves helping one another. That preacher's conference this week, there were many preachers there, and so many needed help, me included, how the Lord met with us. It's a blessing to be in a ministry where you can help others. We're not about tearing down. We're about building up. We're about restoring and helping one another. We don't shoot our wounded. We help them. God, may He remind us that one activity of the Christian life is helping others. The little family was walking to our church. I'm so glad that there were so many families trying to stop and pick them up or take them home. Let me tell you, everybody don't have cars. Everybody don't have nice clothes to wear. Everybody ain't got a lot of food on their table today. We're so spoiled. We're just rotten spoiled. Yeah. We better remember there's a God that had grace about us. And, oh, we need help in our life in this day and hour. Oh, we need help in our life. Helping each other. And then we've seen this matter of sowing. As a Christian, we need to find ourselves sowing in Galatians 6, verse number 7. Be not deceived, for God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. I preached that text the other Wednesday night here. I've noticed this. Whatever I sow has a tendency to come up. What you don't understand, the devil will never show you this, but I'm a grandparent. I've got a few days behind me. I hope I got several more in front of me. But I can look back at some of you young couples, and the devil don't show you this. When your baby is coming by, putting their little money in a bucket, you know, they're just not putting money in a bucket for missions. You're sowing. You're so, isn't it amazing? 2-year-olds know what they're doing when you turn them loose. They know what. Isn't it a blessing? Some of them fall down in the altar. You say, well, I don't like them tackling on the altar. Praise God, I'm glad they got a church where they can fall into the altar. The average Baptist church got so cold they ain't even got an altar. They put a fence around it and dare a preacher to get out from behind it. Thank the Lord for sowing. You listen to me, young people. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, so shall he reap. We shall reap if we faint not in due season. The devil won't show you what you got to show you what you don't got. We need to be involved in this thing of sowing, planting, watering. We need to sow the right seed. I'm glad we preach out of the Word of God, a King James Bible. There is not another Bible. And don't let any liberal preacher ever tell you anything different. The King James Bible, still the right Bible this morning. There's one way to heaven, in spite of what Joel Osteen says. Jesus Christ, Him crucified. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by Him. Be careful what you're sowing, it'll come up. I loved it when little Carly called a preacher. I want to say a lot of things right there. Number one, I'm glad she knowed that God had saved her. Number two, I'm glad she knowed who her preacher was. Call my preacher. I go visit and ask people. I say, where you go to church? They say, so-and-so. I said, who's your preacher? They say, I can nearly say his name.
Everybody needs a preacher. I need a preacher. I'm glad I've got a preacher. Everybody needs friends. And you listen to me this morning. It does matter how we sow. What you sow, you're going to reap. I know everybody's kids are not perfect. Many of us have sowed and we planted and we watered. Their kids now, their own opinions or their own doings. But it does pay to serve God. Somewhere down the road, it's going to come back. The seed that you've put in the ground is going to come up somewhere. I thank the Lord. Me and Mama's tried to plant some seed. And now harvest time's come. Man, why couldn't we have had grandbabies first? Wouldn't that have been a blessing? Some of y'all not caught up in that yet, but you just wait till your turn comes. Just wait till God blesses you in such a way somebody calls you Pop or Mimi. Turns your gizzard upside down. Boy, I'm telling you this morning, thank God for the truth of sowing. I'm glad some people sowed some things in my life. And we better be careful what we sow, because whatever we sow, it will come up. We need to be sowing right. Now it takes me this morning, not only that of shining, running, helping, and sowing, but we need to find ourselves fighting. I don't know where anybody got it that the Christian life is not a battle. Because it is a battle. There's a real devil. There's real flesh. There's real trials. There's real temptations. Mom and daddies, I'd be careful not to downtrodden our young people. They're facing more temptations than men you ever knowed about in high school tonight. They're facing more things. You know, we thought it was something if you just got talking in class, got caught. Chewing gum, that's a big deal. Y'all remember when you'd hide gum from the teacher and you'd stick it up under your chair and you'd find out somebody done beat you to it and you say, oh no, somebody's had that in their mouth. You feel up under your seat. You look on there and everybody's bubble gum stuck on the chair. Well, isn't it amazing? Any of you see this morning on national news where the boy put it on YouTube, he walked in and slaughtered all those children in California. Man, I'm going to tell you what, our young people's got so many demons unleashed on them and put upon them. If there's ever been a time we need to find ourselves fighting, it is this morning. It's Memorial Day weekend, and I thank God for some warriors for the cross that stood up and fought, done everything they knowed. Hey, I'd get my mouth off the men of God. They trying to keep your young'uns out of hell this morning. Thank God for some men that stood up by the way of the old rugged cross, fired this old gospel gun and cried, Jesus saves, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. There's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And oh my, how we need to be finding ourselves fighting. In 1 Timothy chapter number 6 today, 1 Timothy chapter number 6, verse number 11. The Bible says, but thou, O man of God, flee these things. Follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Here's the word, verse 12. Fight. A lot of you tickle me. I wish you could wear these 11 and a half mediums around about 2 months. You say, I don't know why that preacher would say that. Well, I don't know if any of you have ever been in a fight. You'll say things and do things you normally wouldn't ever say. The leadership in this church is trying to keep your family out of hell. Give them a chance. Just like what Brother Randy said today, give them a chance. Get your mouth off of us. Get involved. Get out of the bleachers and get out there on the battleground. You get in the foxhole and lay there one night in the mud and the blood. This thing is a fight. There's a real devil after your babies, after your marriage, after this church, after your preacher, after everybody that'll stand up for what's right. There's a real fight this morning. It's not a bingo game. It's a fight. You know it's a fight just to keep you right. You know that, you people that are real. Your flesh is a constant battle on you. And if your flesh is not a battle, you've never been saved. Well, I'm telling you what. He said, fight the good fight of faith. I thank the Lord for some people that's fought the fight in front of me. Brother Driver is here this morning. His work's got him to where he can't be here like he likes. But I want to say something to this gray-haired soldier sitting here this morning. I appreciate your spirit and your love for the gospel and your love for preaching. Thank God for Brother Donald Hubbard that'll stand up and say, Jesus saved. A Brother Jack Honey that can pray. Hey, hey, thank God for the older folks at the house of God that stood up and showed me how to fight right. Anybody can fight in their flesh, but that don't get the battle done. We're fighting spiritual warfare. My goodness, the Bible said, I want you to fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold onto eternal life. Then look what he says right here in 2 Timothy 4 and verse number 7. 2 Timothy 4 and verse number 7. Paul said this, he's winding down. He said something in verse number 5 that is amazing. Let's just go on and get this right here. He said in 2 Timothy 4, he said verse 1, I charge thee. I like what Brother Jody preached this week. He said somebody ought to say charge. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, or the living and the dead, that is appearing in His kingdom. Look here. Preach the word. You know that word preach means to proclaim, to publish, to herald, to cry aloud. Preaching, yelling. Teaching's telling. It's a big difference in preaching. There ain't much preaching going on. A lot of tiptoe teaching. Nobody wants to offend nobody. But I can tell you what, I've never got help until somebody told me the truth. He said, you preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. What does that mean? You preach when they ain't shouting. You just preach. Preach. Don't see nothing there about drama teams. Preach. Preach the word. Look what he says. 2/3 of preaching is cutting and going against. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort. We need balanced preaching. We need people to tell us when we're wrong. We need the people saying that that's doing good to encourage us, but to tell us, listen to me, you're going to get in trouble. 2/3. Reprove, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. You know why I'm a Baptist? Because I hold a Baptist doctrine. I've got doctrine that keeps me straight in this book. That's why some of you need to come to Sunday school class and get doctrine. Let me get on this right here before you go light your grills this evening. I'm going to tell you, you say, well, preacher, Sunday night we're going to have some Sunday school. That's not very important. Let me tell you, doctrine will keep you doctored up. We need to be teaching our children. And I'm going to tell you what, I don't care if the church is gathered together to clean the lamps. We ought to be here when the doors open. Somebody say amen right there. Well, they're just having Sunday school. We won't come. Don't cop out on me now. Let's build a church. Let's build a ministry. Let's have some change without changing. I don't want to look around here on Sunday night. 4 or 5 here, no Sunday school teacher. That ain't what this is about. Wake up, answer the phone. It's the last days. Yes, culture's changed. Yes, time is short, but we got to use it for Jesus. We need teaching and preaching of the Word of God. You know something? These little old babies are listening to a whole lot more than what you think they're listening to down there in them classes. Now watch. He says the time will come they'll not endure sound doctrine. They won't like it when you tell them that a woman can't pastor a church. They won't like it when you tell them the qualifications of what the Bible said. The time will come they'll not endure sound doctrine. You know why they wouldn't endure sound doctrine? Because they got off the diet of it. And if we ever leave sound doctrine, there's no way to bring it back. We need sound doctrine. Once saved, always saved. But when you get saved, you're saved and you change. The Holy Ghost indwells the believers. The Spirit of God lives in us. We're saved to the day of redemption. The blood of Jesus. Sanctification, separation, glorification. You can learn all them things if you'd come to Sunday school. What you know? I don't know. Brother Kenda says it. I don't know. Brother Ken believes it. I believe it. Well, won't you get in there and see why Brother Ken believes it? Shake your little Baptist head up and down like a little poochie dog this morning. He said, now I'm ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I finished my course and I've kept faith. But we need to find ourselves in the activities of the Christian fighting. Let me tell you what we got to do in our church. And time's running out. I'm closing. We got to be fighting to keep the world out of our services, out of our church. We're not going to contemporary songs. Don't bring no contemporary songs up here and want to sing. We're not singing them. We ain't singing no Wakey Break Your Heart. Amen. This ain't Merle Haggard's den here. Shake your little head up and down. We preach it out of a King James Bible here and that's all. Ain't no car shows going to take over this place. That's what they said. Oh, preacher, y'all got a pretty place. Let's have a car show there on third Saturday night. Ain't happening. Ain't happening. They ain't throwing their cigarettes and beer cans down on this property. You say, well, why don't you have fifth Sunday night singings? Why don't you come to preaching? Come to preaching. Let me tell you why I don't have them singings. I'm mean enough with half of y'all acting right. You let a fella come up in here all sideways with his big hat on, his bolo, and his shirt undone, his cigarettes rolled up in his shirt sleeves, sunglasses cocked up on his head. I ain't sitting around that crowd. Bunch of diesel sniffing. Wouldn't walk across the road to hear preaching. They'd go 40 miles to hear singing. Help me! Help! Would somebody help me? Keep on. I'm going to break that chair back out. Time will come. They'll not endure sound doctrine. Teachers having itching ears. Some of y'all follow old Joel. You better watch a boy spending more on hair gel than he's paying his tithe. Smiling like a mule eating saw briars. I looked at him on the internet. You know, that's amazing the opportunities he's got. Won't take a statement that Jesus saved. That's amazing. Time will come, they'll heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Prop my flesh up, Joel. Prop my flesh up. Make me be positive in myself. Let me tell you what, we all ought to have goals and ambitions, but honey, it's Christ in you if you're going to do anything in this world. Just like what Brother Randy said, there's a lot of employers blessed because who's living in the employees. I don't need a man how to tell me to prop my flesh up. I know where my flesh should get me. This Bible says when the Holy Ghost has come, it will always exalt Christ and not ourselves. Remember that. Yes, we can be positive what we can do. Yes, we can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. But this flesh is wicked. This flesh can't be trusted. You look up here. You young couples, you better get to quit corralling and carousing and getting so close and all this lovey-dovey get you in trouble. Say amen, you little henpecked looking something. Average Baptist church just become a little patent place because there ain't no preaching going on. Amen! I always get mad on grill day. Fighting. It's a fight. Let me ask you something, Mom and Daddy. Let me ask you something. Is it worth fighting for your babies? Is it worth fighting for your marriages? Many of you have seen how the devil's come against your marriages, against your children. The devil fights my children tooth and toenail. He fights my marriage tooth and toenail. Fights the ministry God's put me in tooth and toenail. We better realize this thing is a battle and a fight. We better realize part of the Christian life is fighting the good fight of faith. Not brawlers. Not hitting people over the head with sticks. But it's standing for what's right. Is anybody interested in standing for what's right in the last days? Thank God for people that stood right. And then, lastly, we need to find ourselves not only fighting, but I can tell you one great activity of the Christian faith is praying. Pray. Sounds so simple. You know something I seen this morning I'd never thought about, Brother Mike? Turn with me right here. I'll be done now. Turn with me over into Mark's Gospel, chapter number 4. Mark's Gospel, chapter number 4. Say amen this morning. Let me know you didn't go to the grill. Say amen. Mark 4. The same day when the evening was come, he said unto them, let us pass over into the other side. When they sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat in the ship, so that it was now full. Watch this. Here it is. He was in the hinder part of the ship, sleeping on a pillow. They awake him, said to him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? He arose, and he rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. All right, what you thought there? Here's my thought. You ready? They prayed till it cleared up. They awoke him and said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he stood up. He rebuked the wind and the waves, and the Bible said there was a great calm. Wouldn't it be a blessing if we could just pray to things cleared up? You're in a storm this morning. Can I give you this right here and we go? Just stay and hold on to God and pray till things clear up. Some of you wondering about your children, just hold on to God and pray till things clear up. Some of you may be confused about what's going on in your life and at your job. Just stay with God and pray till things clear up. God can do anything this morning. Anything. Michelle, would you come? I'd like my sister to play a verse today. I'm glad we've got a God that can clear things up this morning. I know many of us have already come. Many of you have already come and prayed today. Miss Sherry's going to play, and I'm going to open this altar up, and I want to ask you something. Do you need to come to God, call upon Him in prayer and ask Him, and just stay with Him until He clears some things up? Are you fighting the good fight of faith? Are you running? Are you watching? Are you listening? Are you a light that's going off in this old dark world? Whatever you need, Miss Sherry's going to play this morning. Whatever you need in your life, you come and ask the Lord to help you. Whatever you need. I'm glad there's a God that can clear things up this morning. Would you come? Whatever you need in your life, you can trust Him. Many of